questions without notice for Ryko Filters. Unfiltered questions. Insist your mechanic only uses the best for your vehicle's service. Insist on Ryko Filters.
Mikey Sheen's with us. He's on fire. Your old mate Rod Grinner texts through. He said 10 matches or 10 rounds did he get suspended for? Does that make a difference?
Good morning, Rod. He got 10 matches, didn't he?
Which is
I've never heard a penalty couched in the terms of rounds.
No, which and the argument that Jared argues, and I would agree with, is that is 10 rounds of footy.
It's implicit. No,
it's
okay.
The same, yeah, it's but implicit.
The, but
right.
The decision is 10 matches.
Which is seen as the round.
It
is
well, I don't care what you say. Other, literally, Gary, it says 10 matches.
But in every other occasion, it is seen as the round of football.
I just got a text from Rod, and he's on my side.
I don't think he is. Questions
the
out ball, notice.
First, ball's back in your court, yeah. Mike.
First one for you, Michael.
Yes, Gary.
Why are you doing a documentary on John Coleman?
Well, it's a very good question you ask.
Well, you ask me to ask you.
You say that every week. We're all talking, well, there's a lot of talk this week about who will win the Coleman, and there'll be even more discussion as the weekend unfolds. We all know that it's the Coleman medal, and precious few people know who Coleman was, and he is a phenomenon of this game. And I've taken the decision, you know, because it's my show.
Yeah, cool.
The decision is that we should know. It's a part of the education process that people should know more about John Coleman than the fact he's got a medal named after him.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love it. When is it on? Is it on this?
Next Tuesday night.
What time?
Same time as normal.
But it's not an open mic.
Yes, it is.
Not with John Coleman, it's not.
No. No, we haven't got John in the chair.
No.
No, it's about won't. Him. It's a, right. Sort of a mini
okay.
Doco.
Yeah.
Who have you got then?
Who have we got?
Who did you speak to?
I spoke to Jonathan Brown, who was the only Coleman medal winner ever to ring the family and say how proud he was
is
to have won
right?
it.
Yeah. That's a good story.
And Noel McMahon, who
what
played
wasted
on,
it here.
Noel McMahon, who played on John Coleman.
Yep.
Now, this is a good story. I'm not a very good joke teller, but I found this funny. I said to Noel, did you ever play on John Coleman? You should. I certainly did. Kept him to 2 goals. I said, what happened after quarter time, Noel? He said, you cheeky young bugger.
Yeah, well, where's the joke?
And when do we laugh?
I knew you'd gang up. You shit me.
Dropped an SH1T on us.
You had a great guest on open mic, Scotty Cummins.
Yeah, he was good.
Very emotional too. The question is for you this morning, is it time for everyone to forgive Scotty Cummins?
I think so. I mean, as crass as it was, and he admits that, I love blokes who have got contrition and remorse for what they've done. And there were no conditions on his guilt. He just said he stuffed up. I mean, the thing that really would have hurt me, and it did cut him, was the fact that his junior footy team, the team that he coached with his son playing in it, told him that he was no longer fit to coach. Mm. I mean, he's not an underworld figure. It was just a lapse at the microphone of a podcast. And it was crass, I know that. Like, Caroline Wilson would have sent him to Guantanamo Bay, but I think this middle ground here. I trust a bloke whose credits are intact, and he's a good bloke, Scotty Cummins.
Well said. My question is, how do you view Mitch McGovern's chat today where he says in the paper he went through, so this is the background, is that he was a bit overweight, so the club said, you're not playing, you've got to get in shape. So Andrew Russell took him for a 3-week training block. He said it's the hardest training he's ever endured, and that the fact that it was that he was eating too much.
Yeah.
How do you view that?
QED. I mean, if he's...
QED.
Which was to be proved or something. It's sort of...
But, I mean, that I could probably understand that from a first,
where are you going
first
with
or second or third year.
Oh, okay.
A bloke
so
on
you
six,
want,
seven,
yep.
800,000 bucks,
yep.
Probably incumbent upon him to be aware of the standard and what you put in your gob.
Yes, I agree with that. And he's paid the penalty for it.
And that's okay. I did say I really liked the way he owned
yes.
up to it. And
yeah.
owned it, and let's hope it
And I think at that time, a fit McGovern wasn't going to make any difference to the way Carlton were going. But
it does now.
And it's improved the culture of the footy club because they took a stand and they made him get right.
It makes a huge difference.
Yes.
A fit McGovern. But
now it does.
You know, and this is the thing, though. The penny drops at different periods of people's lives when they actually commit to something wholeheartedly. And let's just hope for his sake and for Carlton's sake that that's going to be the turnaround in his performance.
Now, Gaz.
I'm just on that. So last one. I'm understanding of it, and I like the way he was honest and he owned it and went and worked with it. There'd be some in this industry or in other sporting industries that would just be brutal to the point of saying he shouldn't be paid.
Well, Carlton said that. ultimately.
Shouldn't be paid or played.
No, well, played. Oh, paid. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah. But they, I mean, yeah, like Carlton, when they go to, when you go to recruit somebody, right, and you're building up this picture of that person that you recruit, you need to know all that, don't you?
Sure.
You need to know, it doesn't take you very long to work out how committed or dedicated or fit, how hard somebody trains, what they're like around a football club. Like, you don't need to ring too many people to find that out before you recruit
them. But when you recruit that person, then you'd say, okay, this is what we won't tolerate.
But wasn't he injured over the summer?
He did have some injuries. Yeah, we've talked about him.
But he did have injuries.
Yeah, he did. Well, because there's this fascination with round one.
Oh, really?
Tommy Lynch is another one. I heard Buddy Franklin last night say that he shouldn't have played round one.
10 years. People think there's 12 points worth.
I know. Now, talking about Buddy, I'm surprised, with no knowledge, just surprised that the Swans would play him this week. I can't see the benefit of it, and I can see some downside.
Well, I'm assuming that they're playing him because he's 100%, well, as fit as they need to have him to play the final game of the football.
What's the gain? Where's the upside?
Well, there's no upside other than putting him out there, and he may want to play alongside Kieran Jack and Jared McVeigh in their final game.
Would you play him, Gaz?
I would have put him away a month ago. But my understanding is that he has been absolutely ready to play for 2, if not 3 weeks.
Okay.
They've just said, you're not playing, and you can play in the last game. So, yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be an occasion. Maybe they wanted the big occasion.
I would like the fairy tale would have been for the Swans to play Hawthorne in round one next year with his 300th game on the line.
Yep, good point.
Yeah, good possibility.
Why is it when teams sack their coaches or they're struggling or they're battling or whatever, this is the general consensus of what happened. Why is things turned around for the better? This is Tom Phillips who was asked that similar question. He said, less meetings, more honesty. Why does it take a shocking run of form or a sack coach for then the club or whoever's in charge to turn around and go, geez, our meetings go too long?
But everyone says the same thing. Every time a player retires, they say, what will you miss? You say, oh, I won't miss the meetings. Well, do the coaches not read the
papers? And then
the
next question is, what's changed? Oh, he's just freed us up.
Yeah, and Tim and I were talking about this before. The new coach comes in and lets him play and declares that, doesn't he? Want to give him some freedom, let him play. 6 weeks later, he becomes a master strategist like the rest of them.
You're coaching yourself out of a job, though, if you keep on that train of thought, isn't it? Like, what are you doing differently? Well, I'm not coaching them.
Well, the North Melbourne situation.
What do we need a coach for then?
North Melbourne situation. When Reece Shaw said, let them express themselves, play a simple way, and then they go to Geelong. Were they trying to be too clever at Geelong?
Well, you won't know unless you're actually inside the club whether or not they tried to change things and they tried to complicate things with the messaging, whatever it might be. It could be something like that. It could easily be something like that. But they came out and they played a great game the next week when they played against Port. I mean, that was as good a game as you could see a side play.
Let's laminate a piece of paper, a sheet, and laminate it and stick it on the wall so the next coach who gets sacked or the next slump in form and when the team comes out, they'll say, what happened? Well, we simplified the game plan. Yeah. We had less meetings.
Freedom up.
We were more honest and we just got freed up and told to play.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes
job justification, Tim.
Exactly. But, you look at the games and how they're decided, those critical games between two really good teams. It gets that down to actually the talent that you might have available to you out there on the ground at that time, how quickly they pick up the read of the ball, what they do with the ball under difficult circumstances, how they extricate themselves from pressure, all that type of thing. They can win you the game. It's got nothing to do with tactics strategy.
But to prove our point, I was listening to Chris Fagan during the week. Now, the ABC called during the day, said how negative Brisbane had become. Right? Chris Fagan said at three-quarter time, negative. He said, hey, boys.
What? Negative?
They were playing predictable football. Chris Fagan said, well, I said to the boys, we're 3 goals down. Just, let yourself
express
go.
Yourselves. Yeah.
So they win the game. And sides that are capable but get behind, they always do it the same way. In the finish, it becomes a simple game of footy.
Yeah, but could they do it for 4 quarters is the next question.
Yeah.
All right, I've got to get a break. The caller of the week is Steph from Berwick. She just rang before. Mini preview of the Tigers Lions. Positivity coming out. How much she loved the game and how much she was looking forward to it. So she's in the running for a Toyota Hilux SR5 at the end of the year. I do want to ask you, Marcus Bondopelli and Luke Beveridge, I'll ask you about that if we've got time next.